Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
Lots of people, a lot of little people particularly, but lots of people coming into the office this time of year with sore throats. You picked a good article from the Journal of General Internal Medicine. Asks a pretty good question, one I hadn't really thought about. By way of background, group A streptococcal pharyngitis infections usually present with abrupt onset, sore throat, tonsillar exudate, tender lymph nodes, adenopathy, fever, and, you know, it tends to get better in a few days, 2 to 3, 4, 5 days. Patients with sore throats lasting longer than a week usually do not have group A strep, and patients that we think have a high probability based on the center criteria or something else, we tend to test with a rapid antigen detection test, and those that are positive, we tend to treat. The question that this particular article addresses is, what do we do with those that are negative? Do we trust the results and not treat them, or do we go on and do some confirmatory test? Mark, what did the authors of this study published in JGIM, 2013, volume 28, starts on page 830, what did they find?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, Mike, but one of the co-authors of this study is John Hickner, who's one of our colleagues. And John was the chair of family medicine at the Cleveland Clinic, currently at the University of Illinois. And the two of us and John have taught in a number of classes in the past for physicians. So it's good to see him doing some interesting research. And he did this while he was at the Cleveland Clinic. And, you know, there are some institutions have a policy that, okay, we're going to use a rapid strep test. And if it's positive, we'll treat folks. And if it's negative, we don't trust it. And we're going to go ahead and still get a culture on those patients to confirm the negative test, so we don't miss any cases of strep. You know, the rapid strep tests have actually gotten pretty good, so he was questioning the wisdom of that policy. So they did this at the Cleveland Clinic, and they had over 20,000 adults who were diagnosed with acute pharyngitis. They got tested with rapid strep tests. And overall, about 1 in 5, 20%, had strep. So they were treated. Most of those who had a negative initial test, over 15,000, got this confirmatory culture testing. Of those, only 6% ended up being positive. So the yield of doing this confirmatory testing and cultures and all the costs associated with that was pretty low. Remember, this is, you know, strep in adults. Treating it will get them better a day, maybe a day and a half faster. Maybe it'll prevent transmission, but on the other hand, we're talking adults, not toddlers, and they've probably exposed whoever they're going to expose already. So, and the other interesting thing was, even if you did get all these cultures, they really didn't have any significant impact on practice. You would think if you had a negative culture, those patients wouldn't get treated. Well, as it turned out, if they 45%, half of those who had a confirmed negative culture got antibiotics anyway, and 61% of the others. So really didn't make a big difference. Overall, 63% of adults were prescribed antibiotics, even though less than 20% actually had strep. So it didn't have much impact on practice. It's a huge cost, you know, 20,000 tests times 30, 40 bucks or whatever a culture costs at the Cleveland Clinic, you know, it's, you know, I can see why their lab might push for this as a policy, but I'm not sure that it's really helping patients.
Right. So very interesting study sort of puts that to rest, although it does raise two other questions. The first is, why with those that were negative, did they continue to treat them? And the second question is, when they did treat them, did they treat them with an inexpensive drug, such as one that was recommended by CDC, or did they go with an expensive antibiotic? Any insight to the first one? Why are these docs still treating?
Timing is part of it. You know, you get the culture, it takes a couple of days. You got the patient in front of you. It's easier. You say, okay, yeah, they make me get this culture, but I'm going to just treat them anyway. Or you give them a prescription, and you tell the patient, here's your prescription. Don't fill it unless I call you and tell you that you had a positive culture. Well, the patient may bring the prescription in, get it filled, and you know, then they end up getting treated. So, and that's about right in terms of when people give a prescription in pocket and say, here, hold on to this, only use it if you're not getting better. About half of patients don't use it, but half do.
So. Although it is, from this study, it's hard to tell, isn't it, when they say they were treated. Does that mean that a prescription was written, or does the patient actually have to go and fill it to be in the treated category?
Yeah, that wasn't clear. I think it was getting filled, I think actually was counted. But yeah, so yeah, that's, I mean, one of the lessons we learn early on is don't get a test if you're not going to use the answer. And so policies like this, and I'm not a big fan of this kind of a rigid policy. You know, other examples are during flu season, everyone gets a flu test. Well, I don't think that makes sense. You know, everyone with a sore throat gets a rapid strep test. That doesn't make sense to me. I think we can use our clinical judgment and what we know about evidence from the physical exam and the history to rule out and rule in disease in a lot of folks, and then use those tests selectively. And, you know, we've done studies previously with influenza showing that you could eliminate two-thirds of rapid flu tests if that was, if your original policy was to use one on everyone. With just thoughtful use of the history and physical and knowing what season it was, you could, you know, get rid of most of them. So,
Just a reminder for listeners that the Essential Evidence website and tool has some amazing calculators embedded in it. And we're at a point in practice of medicine where, you know, for pharyngitis and for appendicitis and all the Ottawa scales and things, that there are evidence-based scales that can guide us in terms of the prior probabilities and coming up with likelihood ratios of disease.
And that also reminds me that we are now and have been for a couple of months appearing in American Family Physician. So the poems that we talk about here in our podcast, those are all going to be all or mostly available online at the American Family Physician website, and many of them in the print journal as well.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
All right.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.